Grace, mercy, and peace to all of you from God our Father and from our gracious Lord Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Especially consider these verses. Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? That's our text. As I said, today's sermon is based on the parable of the workers in the vineyard. I think, though, it should be called the parable of the gracious employer. The gracious employer. Because that's what this parable is really about, the grace of God. In the world today, in politics and infused in society's discussions even, there's a debate over effort or privilege. Here's what I mean. A few generations ago, south of the border, anyway, where I'm from, most people held to the idea of the American dream. The American dream was essentially this idea. If you work hard enough, you can be whatever you want to be, do whatever you want to do, and thrive. That, in a nutshell, was the American dream. It also carried with it the idea that if you aren't who you want to be, it must somehow be your fault, your lack of effort, your lack of initiative. Now lately, a few generations anyways, this American dream has been challenged by a philosophy of privilege. This philosophy of privilege says that people don't necessarily get what they deserve in America or Canada because it's not a level playing field out there. White males, in particular, don't have to try half as hard to achieve success in this society than anyone of a different race or of a different gender. Society gives them superior status, privilege, while indigenous people, for instance, have to carry around with them stereotypes of failure that make it much harder for them to be accepted and given chances to succeed, even if they are, by nature, just as hard working. Society values them less from the start. Thus says the philosophy of privilege. Now, why do I say all this? Well, today's parable centers upon the notion of grace. Grace, the idea of unearned success. The parable Jesus tells in it, no one is given greater or less success for working in the vineyard. Everyone is paid the same in the end. And that's cause for scandal, according to some of the workers. The parable says that the master of a house, the employer, hires workers first at the beginning of the day, then more throughout the day, and finally, some at the 11th hour. The first round of workers, he agreed to pay a denarius. And as for the rest, he didn't say how much he'd pay them. But you understand the idea. It makes sense that, all other things being equal, the laborers who worked longer deserved more pay. But in the end, they get the same pay as those who worked only 1 hour. And the employer says, it's my money. Don't I have the right to pay as I see fit? Consider for a moment that employers cannot say that today. Entirely different social frame of mind. If you owned a business and you paid two people different wages for the same work, sooner or later, someone is going to cry discrimination. If it's a woman who gets paid less than a man, discrimination. So on and so forth. And maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But either way, the master would have a lawsuit on his hands. But in Jesus' day, not so. And just consider how Jesus' whole parable seems to hinge on this single verse and the truth of it. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Jesus says in the parable that the employer has the right to do what he chooses with what belongs to him. This is important because if he doesn't have that right, the employer can never truly be charitable. If he doesn't have the right to do what he wants with what belongs to him, he cannot be truly merciful. He cannot be truly selfless in giving. So, this parable, of course, is about the kingdom of God. God rewards everyone in his vineyard, not according to their abilities or their status or their effort or how long they've served him. He rewards them freely, without reference to status, wealth, or privilege, because he is so gracious. And to be gracious means to give freely. To give freely to someone who hasn't earned or deserved the gift. So the meaning of the parable is this. God gives freely to all people, even to evil people, because he is gracious. It may look like he gives crops to the hard-working farmer and not to the lazy farmer, but neither farmer would grow an acre without God's blessing. So too, a non-white woman might have to work twice as hard as a white man in our society, but neither will burst the glass ceiling apart from the will of God. And in the end, both will receive, in the resurrection, the very same prize, the very same salvation, regardless of effort. The real gift in the parable, then, is not just the denarius. It's easy to read it that way. But the denarius is a wage earned. The real gift, the real grace, is the initial call to work in the vineyard. In the first place. So the real gift to mankind is the call of God out of the world for us to join the one holy Christian and apostolic church. And that gift is offered to everyone. Some refuse. They refuse the call and remain children of wrath. Children of the world. Others receive the call and yet begrudge his generosity, hold their brother in contempt, another such one that Jesus died for. They, like the Pharisees, like the early workers, have received their reward in this life and forfeited their treasure in heaven. Notice how those who complained received their denarius, but are then sent out of the vineyard. This means that even those who receive good in this life may not enter eternal life. But all who accept the call into the vineyard of the Christian church and who work regardless of privilege or coveting your neighbor and what he has, even if your call was late, the 11th hour, you will not only receive your denarius in this life, but will be counted first in the life to come. And inherit eternal life. All this to say, God has authority over everything. If you think he's unfair, then you forget the simple fact God is true. Everyone who says otherwise is a liar. And God has the right to do what he wants with that which belongs to him. This is necessary for him to be a gracious God. Only if he saves freely can he be merciful. According to his own law, God was bound to damn all of us to hell because of our sin. If he didn't, he would be unjust according to his own law, rewarding our evil. But he didn't want to. He wanted to save us. And he wanted to save us freely. So he made a way so that his salvation could be freely given. He sent his only son to die on the cross for our sins, freeing himself to save us by grace. Because of Jesus' blood, Satan can't accuse us before God. He can't say, God must hate you because of your sin. Apart from Jesus' blood, that is right. Without Jesus' sacrifice, God must hate us. But covered in the blood of the Lamb, he may love us freely. And so he does. And we receive him, this altar, today, every Lord's Day, and every day through repentance and faith. Let us not begrudge this generosity, but hold it as the most precious gift in our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.